Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Listening to this bonus podcast material, Middays with Susie Larson. I'm Susie Larson, and I'm talking to author, pastor, Joshua Gagnon. We just had such a fantastic conversation during the live show. We wanted to keep him on for a little bit of extra time. Title of his book is It's Not Over, Leaving Behind Disappointment and Learning to Dream Again. And Joshua, first of all, thanks for giving us a little extra time.
It's an honor.
Yeah, it's been such a great conversation. Will you say that discontentment is a major obstacle to achieving our God-given dreams? Unpack that a bit more, if you would.
Yeah, I struggle a lot with discontentment. I think we live in a generation or in a culture that struggles with discontentment. I'm always looking at what everybody else has, and I'm always feeling a little bit worse about what I have. And so, you know, even when we look at, you know, my neighbor's lawn, my lawn can never get as green as that lawn, and it frustrates me. I'm like, man, why can't I have that? And I think when it comes to chasing our God-sized dreams, we often live in that same tension where we're comparing and we're feeling discontent because we're comparing our lives to everybody else's life, right? We're feeling discontent because we don't have what they have, and what we're a part of isn't growing as fast as what theirs is growing, and we don't have the marriage that they have. And I think a lot of times what happens is we take our eyes off of what God has called us to focus on, right? The dreams that God has put in our heart. And we start putting our eyes on everybody else's dreams. And I know this, that every time I compare the dream in my heart to everybody else's, I give away the attention that I should be focused on in my own. And so that's just something that I've had to learn over time. And it's nothing I've overcome. I think discontentment will be something that I always struggle with, if I'm being honest with you, Susie.
Yeah, and I appreciate the honesty because I think it's true for all of us. And really, you know, in the day of digital platforms, Instagram, as you say, everywhere we turn, the temptation is so great because some people just make it look easy. I it's just not good for my soul. I don't like to waste time either, so I don't spend a ton of time scrolling on social media. I post things and then I hop off. But the idea of not, scripture, you know, saw this from the beginning of time, don't look to the left or the right, you know, set our faces like flint. I'd love to know just what that looks like for you on a day-to-day basis, because I'm sure there are 1,000 distractions pulling at you. You're pastor of a 10-campus church and you now an author, you've got a lot going on. How do you keep the main things the main things?
Yeah. Since the beginning of time, like you said, you know, this feeling of not enough has come after us. Even when we look at Adam and Eve in the garden, right? They had everything, and yet they still had discontentment. So they went after something else. And so it's something that's been a struggle in all of our lives. And for me, you know, I really do struggle with that when it comes to social media. I've had to fast social media at times for 3 years. My team would post things on social media for me because, man, I'm not good when I put my eyes on what everybody else is doing and I look at everybody else's highlight reel and I look at their ministry and I look at what doors God's opening for them. And then I look at my own life and I think, God, what about me? Why aren't you using me in that way? Why aren't you opening those doors for me? And so I've had to fast social media, which, you know, isn't too good for an author, right? So my publisher was like, you need to start an Instagram account. Like, I just started an Instagram account when I began writing this book, and by God's grace, I have grown in that area. But if we're just speaking candid and honest and heart to heart, I've just had to fast those things because I'm not willing to allow myself to live in this place of discontentment and take my eyes off of what God has called me to do, because I'm so busy lusting after what God's doing in everybody else's life. And I know that's true for the listeners, right? We look at everybody else's marriage and everybody else's business and everybody else's open doors and everybody else's raises and everybody else's granite countertops. And we go home and we're like, what in the world do we have?
Boy, you know, I'm so with you. I was years late to the Instagram party, and my publisher, after a good number of books that I'd put out there, like, you have to get on there. And I'm like, I don't do selfies. I don't belong on Instagram. And they're like, let us open an account for you. So they opened and started my account and started posting. I write these blessings every day. And then they handed it over to me after a little bit of time. But I'm an introvert. I don't do selfies. And even though I have a platform there or whatever, I'm doing my little thing, you know, what I had a mentor tell me, you just be you, you do you. And so I know what I can do and what steals and robs stuff from my soul. And I think that's so important, don't you think, as far as kind of like David couldn't wear Saul's armor. You kind of, you have to figure out what fits you and what's sustainable for you, don't you think?
Man, I love how you just said, that's one of my favorite moments in scripture. I love teaching on that, where David's like, listen, I'm not wearing somebody else's identity in the battle. And,
right.
You know, that's beautifully said, and it's completely true. You know, I'm tempted to dress myself in Saul's armor at times, and I have to remind myself, listen, like, God wants to use who you are, Josh. God wants to use who you are. And here's one of the things that I've told myself as of late, that I could probably fake myself into places faster, right? You could chase after what others are doing and try to force open doors, and you probably could get some places pretty quick. But if you're looking for a lifetime of faithfulness, God will do more through the real you over the course of your lifetime than he'll ever be able to do through the fake you.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's, listen, it may not be as quick because, you know, I'm an introvert, so I'm not knocking down doors, but it may not be as quick. But Josh, if you just stay true to who you are, at least at the end of your life, you'll know that God actually used you, not who you were trying to be, to compare yourself in comparison to everybody else.
Oh, I love that more than I can say. Just a couple more questions before we wrap here. I love this. In so many words, you say the fastest way to forget what God thinks of you is to be consumed with what others think of you. Now, this kind of does play into the comparison conversation, but the fear of man is its own thing, and it's a real thing. So hear this again, friend. The fastest way to forget what God thinks of you is to be consumed with what others think of you. And it is true, as you go to new levels, I'm sure as your church and platform have grown, you know, they always say new level, new devil. You know, there's new critics. How have you perpetually broken free from the fear of man or just giving too much weight to man's opinion?
Yeah, I'm definitely grown in that area. I certainly haven't overcome that. I long for the day where when I get done a message and someone gives me critique or negative words where it doesn't sting to my heart. You know, I long for that day. You know, I've worked hard at creating different relationships, or I should say categorizing my relationships. In the book, we talk about relationships, and I talk about how we all have different people in our lives, right? Some people come, and I use words like zombie and vampires. I say, you know, we're all going to face vampires in our life. We're going to face those relationships that slowly suck the life out of us. They're negative. They're critical. You always feel drained when you leave the conversation. And they're not bad people. These aren't bad people, but we all come in contact with vampires. Every day we come in contact with vampires, and it's understanding their role in our life and managing their role in our life. Those are people that suck the life out of us. The next group of people I call zombies. Now, those are people who really try to take us in a direction that God does not desire us to go. It could be that person in the office that's flirting with you inappropriately, right? These are people that are truly trying to take life from us. Those are zombies. And then I said they're sidekicks. And those are the Robins in our life. And when it comes to the critique, like you're mentioning, the fastest way to forget what God thinks about us is to become consumed by what others do. I try to really manage those vampire and those zombie voices. And I try to listen to the sidekicks in my life, the Robins to Batman in my life. And for me, one of the rules I've made is I'm never – now, what I want to make clear is we need people critiquing us. We don't want yes people in our lives. We want people that say, Josh, that's not the right direction, or Josh, you need to watch your heart in this area. But here's what I want to make clear. I never allow anyone to speak into my dream unless they're first willing to sweat into my dream. Uh-huh. Right? You have to be willing to sweat into my dream. You have to be pouring some sweat into my life before you have the privilege to speak into my life. And so for me, I've got sidekicks in my life, and those are the voices I listen to most now. And then there's heroes, and the heroes in our life are those who have gone before us, and those who are maybe older in age, who are living the life that we hope to someday live, and getting around those heroes and helping allowing them to help us to point our arrow in the right direction is powerful. So for me, it's all those relationships and saying to myself, okay, now how do I build boundaries around those relationships? And when people speak into my life, is it someone that has sweat with me? Because even if it's good or bad, if they've sweat with me, I'll listen to what they say. But if they're just critiques, they're just trying to pull me off the wall.
Boy, that's so good. once had a young woman walk up to me and she said, I keep telling people you're going to get wake up one day and not get out of bed. You're going to hit a wall and not recover from it. And I said, I didn't even know her. And I'm like, what? And she said, nobody can write books, do radio and speak. She goes, I'm predicting. And I said, and I felt like the Lord kind of urged me to share something with her that I didn't owe her, but I felt like I needed to share it. And I just kind of grabbed her shoulders and I said, you're young. You're younger than me. And I want you to know what my daily practice looks like. I said, I get up every morning, spend at least 2 hours with the Lord, just being with him. I work out 5-6 times a week. I drink 70 ounces of water a day. I go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. I said, I have disciplines. I have mentors. I have accountability in place and I have margin. And her eyes got really big. And I said, I don't owe you any of that, but I just need you to know I didn't get here overnight. And I'm very careful. And she said, I don't do any of those disciplines. She said, I guess I was just projecting on you how your mantle would affect me. And I share that, wow, Joshua, because I want, you know, you're going to have people. There are lots of people who want their dream, but they don't. And they're watching you go after it. And they may project some of their stuff on you. Have you noticed that?
Oh, I've noticed it all of the time. Absolutely. Yeah. What I've never noticed, Susie, is I've never noticed people who are also chasing large dreams and are also living a life of discipline and who are also doing, you know, amazing things. Now, it doesn't mean they have to have radio shows or be pastors, but I'm talking a disciplined life as a mom who's raising wonderful kids or a dad who's raising wonderful kids, right? I don't hear too much from them. It's always the people who aren't stepping out into the crazy that God has for us, stepping out in audacious faith, that always point the fingers at the ones that are. And so for me, you know, I try to make sure I surround myself with the right voices. And by God's grace, I definitely have wonderful mentors in my life.
Praise God. Last question for you, Joshua. You've been so generous with your time. What do you know about God now that you didn't know even a handful of years ago?
I would say I know more of his character, and I know that sounds like a very broad answer, but that's just the first thing that comes to my heart is his character. Mm. When you understand the character of God, you can walk through trials and storms, and you can feel his love and his grace. When you understand the character of God, you understand he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And early on in life, I didn't trust in the character of God. A lot of the relationships I had growing up defined adults in my life, defined who God was to me. And that's very dangerous. You know, I know a lot of people, including a lot of listeners, I'm sure, you know, their earthly dad defined who God was, or their earthly mom defined who God was, or teachers or people in authority defined who God was. And I did that. And so for me, God was angry and God was frustrated and God gave me one chance and God kind of snickered at me when I made mistakes and rolled his eyes. And for me, as I've grown in understanding God and in getting into his word and making him my heavenly father, I now see a God who doesn't roll his eyes, but a God who looks at me eagerly, expecting me to make the better decision. I now see a God who doesn't have folded arms, but a God who has open arms. And so when you understand the character of God, and that's what I'm growing in, man, he's a good father. And, you know, even with this book, there's so much fear of failure and all of that. And I've had to just press into the character of God. Like, hey, listen, I have a good father, and he doesn't really care he cares about this book, but his love for me is not defined by how well this book does. My heavenly father adores me either way. So I would say I've learned more and more about who God truly is, and less what I was taught and more of what I've actually experienced.
Joshua, I love that. And I mean it, friends, when I say if today's conversation has inspired you to dream again, you got to write me so I can send it to Joshua, because that's just fruit and testimony of your faithfulness. Pounding out a book is no small thing. Email me, if you would, middays@myfaithradio.com. Joshua, I appreciate you so much. And you and I have chatted off the air. Look forward to having you back on the show again. Just keep our conversation going. God bless you and all that he has you doing. And thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Susie. I really appreciate it.
Great conversation. Joshua Gagnon, friends, his book is titled It's Not Over, Leaving Behind Disappointment and Learning to Dream Again. Hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. This content is available thanks to the gifts of generous listeners just like you. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com.